Stephen Jill here.
Hello.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Stephen Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny, like my shirt, yellow, sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about starting with a budget. It is imperative that you start all of this stuff staring at a blank, blinking Excel spreadsheet.
I have a funny story.
I can't express it enough. Should you tell it now?
Yes.
All right.
I have a funny story real quick about a budget. My mom let my dad handle the budget for a brief time during their marriage. It was the funniest thing.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was only a short time that he did this, because here's dad's way of doing the budget. When the money came in every month, all the fun stuff happened. Trips got planned. We bought things. We had all this stuff. And then at the end of the month, dad would sit down and try to pay the bills with what was left over. And as you can imagine, it was a disaster. Yep. It was a disaster. So she took that away. And the other thing she took away, which was actually kind of funny though.
She took it away.
She took it away.
Like your mom.
It's awesome.
Not your mom, but like a mother.
So this is, by the way, this is important, because I had to learn this whole budget thing because I am way more like my dad than I am like my mom. And so that's the way I want to do too. I'm like, well, I got the money now. I can afford it. It's like, hold on a moment. We got to take care of important stuff too. So the other thing I have to say, because this is funny, this is important, was grocery shopping. I loved grocery shopping with my dad. We bought ding dongs. We bought root beer. We bought popcorn. There were no fruit and vegetables. No way. It was all the good stuff. So my mom took that away from dad too.
So you know, I gotta think.
And those of you who are, you know, I wonder if everybody knows what a ding dong is now. I mean, our kids don't eat ding dongs.
They're ho hos or whatever.
Dad loved ding dongs.
They're donuts.
It was in the.
They're worse for you.
They
not
were
fresh
round,
donuts.
Wrapped Twinkies. In foil in a box. Ding dongs rock.
I'm sure that your dad, somewhere in the back of his head, was like, I want to screw this up good so I don't have to do it anymore.
I have wondered that later on. I thought, oh yeah, I'll do the grocery store shopping.
Yeah,
and
I'll
then
do
she
the
won't
budget.
Ever ask me
I'll do
again.
All the domestic
it's
stuff.
It's like, I'll empty the dishwasher and no one will know where anything is. And I'll half of them are broken.
Crash this train so I don't have to drive again.
Thanks a lot. So is this why I always have to make the bed? Just kidding. I don't.
I make the bed more than
I know.
Before we get into this, though, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
Jordan asks, hello, I wanted to get your opinion on a 3-acre property I'm looking at buying. Everything looks good. Good price-wise, except there seems to be a gas well, machinery in parentheses, with a small dirt road leading to it, taking up about a third of the property. My question
oh,
is,
that little detail.
Will this make the property difficult to sell? If anyone has any experience around this, it would be appreciated. Thanks. Wow.
Go ahead, Jill.
I'm a little worried.
Yeah.
Yeah, the gas. He said gas, right? Yeah, that's got EPA and environment. What's is it zone environmental? Lord knows I, or industrial, I mean. Like.
Hold on. You found a piece of property that has probably a functioning gas well on it with a huge company behind it that's leasing the property from the current owner. Jill and I run into this, not so much anymore because we avoid sending letters out to this, but I've done deals like this with a functioning gas well. And when you bring it up to the seller, they say, oh yeah, I mean, I've been getting a check for $34 every year to lease this land for, you know, 25 years. And yeah, there's gas in there. All right, so let me tell you, just run. Yeah. Unless you want to be in the energy business and get all into that. And there are some people that love it. In our group, there are people that seek this kind of property out for a lot of reasons. They're into it. All it's going to do is make that property, for what we do here, more difficult to sell. So, you know, I know that there's a sentiment about oil and gas and how profitable it can be. And there's a rich history in Texas and California about all of this. And all of that's true. It's just not the business that I'm in. So I avoid this kind of stuff. I don't, mining companies and all that. I think there's a huge, huge margins to be made. And
that's not our
half
business.
The people who are listening to this are saying, what are you talking about? You're not going to buy a property that right. has mineral value to it.
Right.
And maybe you're right for you, but All it is a distraction for us. We buy property and resell it over and over and over again for more money, and that's our whole business model. And anything on it, including a gas well, just it gets in the way. Mm-hmm. I don't know how else to say it.
That was perfect.
Today's topic, start with a budget. What does that actually mean? This is the meat of the show.
What does this mean,
Steven? Everything in my life starts with a blank spreadsheet. How much revenue can generate, how much expense we're going to incur, what's left over, how long it's going to take.
I think I'm kidding.
And truth be told, here's what I do after I'm all done spending all this time on this beautiful budget. I cut the revenue in half. I increase expenses by 100%, and I still see if I want to do it. Really, and very few things pass the test after that. Or you go into it knowing you're going to lose money. Sometimes when you've got one company that's making so much money, you need a company that's going to lose money, but you still budget it out.
Right.
From that budget, let's say I want to get into land business. I want to make $100,000 a month. It's not going to happen the first month, or maybe it is. However, whatever happens, budget yourself up. Budget your time, too. Put your time constraint. Budget money. Budgeting money is obvious. Budgeting how many hours you have in a day, especially if you have if you're married with children and you have a job, you got to be really hypersensitive about how much time you can spend. Mm-hmm. It's all possible. We have multiple success stories in our group, in our groups now. There's groups who have gotten over this. Every single one of them have sat down and microscopically managed and followed a budget.
I see the value in this for two reasons. One, you want to, like what you just said, you want to, A, make sure it works, and B, you need to really fully assess what you need to contribute here. And is this going to be realistic for you? Because I like that. Because not just the money part of it. Like, all right, I know what I got to put in to get this out of it. The extra piece that you added that really sings to me is my time. Do I really have the time to do this? Okay, if I want to make this much money a month, I've got to flip these many deals. And I need to flip these many deals. I need to send out this much mailer. If I need to send up this much mailer,
beautiful.
I have to spend this much time putting together a mailer. You know, backwards, backwards, backwards. And that means I need two full 8-hour days in my study. Am I willing to give up that weekend? You know, all the things you have to do to get to that point. And it's not that you can't do it. You just need to go. You want to go into it with your eyes open. And by the way, please share this with your family. You know, and the people important to you, you know, get them all. That's my other thing too. Everybody's got to be on the same page. So
here's an example. I'm going to keep this really simple. Let's say you do want to make $100,000 a month, and you've already spent 6 months learning, and you've gone through the programs that we have, and you've done a lot of research, and maybe you flipped a few houses already. So you're bringing that to the table, and you know what you don't want to do. You don't want to renovate a house anymore. And you want to make $100,000 next month. Well, you know that you have to send out about 4,000 to 5,000 letters, and they have to be priced right. But let's say you're past that. So now you're sending out 4,000 to 5,000 letters in Southern California for houses that are 1.2 to 1.5 million. And your whole goal is to buy a property for 1.2 off market, completely off market, and somebody's in a situation where you know you're getting it for a good deal. And then to resell it on the MLS immediately for $100,000 more, $110,000 or $120,000 or $30,000 after fees. And then you want to do it over and over again. You want to do one of those a month to make $1.2 million a year. Very, very realistic goals for the right person.
Right.
So you only have Sunday to do this. You got a real job and all this. It's all possible. Mm-hmm. Absolutely possible. It just takes a bunch of planning. And you have to contingency plan for when things don't work.
Right. And budget a cushion.
But budgeting takes all the stress out of it.
But you're right. You know what's interesting, though? I like what you think. When you described your budget in the beginning, where you talked about, then I double my expenses and I say I'm going to make half as much. And I just have to make sure that all works. So if I screw it all up, I'm still going to be okay.
Just make 50 grand.
A, that's so healthy, number one. And then number two, budgeting your time and your life. You need to plan on, something's going to come up at least, 25% of the time, or
that's right.
whatever you budget, be ready for it. Because the last thing you want to do is be behind and kicking yourself.
Right.
And throwing up your hands and saying, I'm a failure, I can't do this. No, budget for it. Things happen. It happens to us.
Deals fall through. Maybe you have to do two deals.
Exactly.
Take the two deals all the way to fruition for one of them to actually close.
Yeah,
that's fine.
That's okay. Budget for that.
And when, you know.
And tweak your budget as you go, by the way. Don't be afraid to, don't have to stick to it. You can manipulate it as you go.
Yeah, if you like to watch sports on Sunday, you know, knock that out. Mm-hmm. Don't knock out time with your kids and stuff, especially if they're little. So it's just, all I'm saying is if you really sit down and budget it out, and be flexible, because it never actually happens how you think.
Right.
Just the fact that you're writing it down and planning for it dramatically
really
increases your chances of it actually happening. And then when it does happen, you're not surprised. Every once in a while, somebody comes up to me and says some version of this. Because Jill and I are doing really well. They come up to me and say, why you? God, you seem like a what they're really saying is, you seem like a derelict idiot. And why are you successful? Because I want some of that. And my answer is, everything in my whole life is scheduled out. Like, Jill and I aren't sitting around going, how did this happen?
Right.
Wow, we got lucky. We won the lottery. That's lucky.
Right.
We plan for
took us years.
We plan for all this.
Years.
And we work at it even now. Like, we're
years.
Doing this show, you know? So it's not because I'm incredibly bright. It's just because we're organized and we have a budget.
Stop. It's because you have great hair.
Yeah. You have low standards, and that's awesome.
Oh. It's because your on-screen presence is so...
Oh, right.
Yeah. Yeah,
my on-screen charm is why we're here.
Yeah.
Boy, if we had to depend on that to eat, we'd be done tomorrow.
Okay. Thank you. Well, you've done it again. You've wasted another, 15 minutes listening to the Land Academy show. Join us next time when we have another interesting episode. And we answer your questions posted on landinvestors.com, our online community. It's free.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition. Thanks for the save there.
You were just overwhelmed by the compliment, I'm guessing.
Yeah, that no, just I was, we were reversing our roles, which is now I'm learning a bad idea.
You
should just stick to my stuff, you stick to your stuff, and we'll collect the money, count the money later together.
Deal. Share the fun by subscribing on iTunes or wherever you are listening or watching. Maybe it's YouTube. And while you're at it, please rate us there.
We are Steve and Jill. Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.